Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell and welcome to a very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, located in Fairfax, Virginia, and serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about our full-service firm, please visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to join my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, by listening to our video, our audio, our videos, and partaking of the articles that we post there on a weekly basis. And if you'd like to read some print articles, we've got the Washington Business Journal Blueprint for Wealth column that's published the first Friday of every month. Today, we're going to be talking about private equity again. Last week, we spoke about what private equity was, and we're going to be talking about the deal structures that we're typically seeing today in the private equity world. So, a summary, what is private equity? Well, it encompasses a wide range of techniques that are used to finance commercial ventures in ways that don't involve publicly traded stock. It could come from angel investors. It could come from venture capitalists. It might come from hedge funds or much larger institutional investors that want to take part in a company's growth and reap the benefits from the sale of the company at some point in time or the initial public offering as well. Here's an example. Sonic Wall. We use Sonic Wall at our company to act as a firewall to prevent hackers from getting into our website, into our servers, and stealing information improperly. It also protects the integrity of the network. So they're a maker of internet security equipment. And Sonic Wall agreed to be acquired in June of 2010 by a consortium of private equity firms, including Thoma Bravo and Ontario Teachers' Pension Fund of all. So, according to FactSet Merger Metrics, the transaction was valued at $717 million and was one of nearly two dozen private equity acquisitions in 2010 for public companies that were worth more than $100 million. Private equity, at least in the middle market, has life both in the public and in the private sectors. Given all of the transactions that are occurring, it's a good time for a look at how parties are negotiating these transactions in the wake of the financial crisis that we're emerging out of. In these transactions, we're typically seeing four different types of structures, and each structure is set up to address the issue of making sure that the transaction closes. Because I'm not sure if you were familiar with this, but when the financial crisis was occurring, without that certainty of closing the deal, private equity firms were pulling out of deals left and right, leaving target companies, the companies that were seeking the private equity, without a source of private equity funding. Here's the first structure. We call it all equity financing. The private equity firm provides full equity financing for the transaction, meaning that there's absolutely no borrowing, no debt. Instead, the private equity firm finances the transaction after completion of the deal. So it might be financed in a series of tranches where they're putting up equity over a period of time, if milestones are met or after a certain period of time has lapsed. The private equity firm provides financing letters, commitment letters for the equity, and the target, typically in the structure, has full recourse to the private equity fund to collect that equity funding under these letters and can demand that the private equity specifically perform, meaning that the private equity fund has to give them the money, and if they don't, they can actually sue them in court to collect it. Structure number two, known as debt and equity financing, but with a twist, it also has a specific performance provision in the deal. Here, the private equity firm provides equity financing, common stock or most likely convertible preferred stock, but they also obtain debt financing for the company from a consortium of banks, maybe at least one bank, but maybe usually a consortium of banks in a large transaction. In the transaction, if bank financing debt is available, and the conditions to complete the deal are otherwise satisfied, the target company actually can sue to force the private equity firm to specifically perform in the transaction. This means that the target can actually sue to force the buyer to draw on the equity commitment letters that the private equity firm has given, and in some cases, actually force the private equity firm to sue the debt providers, the banks, to actually provide the debt financing. If the financing falls through, then there's a fee that's paid in the amount of 4 to 10% of the transaction value. So if you're talking about a $100 million deal, you're talking about a $4 million breakup fee. And the breakup fee is paid by the private equity firm to the target company. Some examples of these deals include the Interactive Data Corporation and Silver Lake Partners deal. The third structure is a debt and equity financing deal, but without the specific performance requirement. This is what we call a pure reverse termination fee model, meaning that the target cannot force the private equity fund to complete or specifically perform the acquisition. Instead, the buyer can walk away for any reason, but if they do, it's required to pay a fee to the target company. So the termination fee, again, typically is between 4 and 10% of the deal value, but it might be the only remedy that the target company has. So it may have incurred significant costs in preparing for the private equity deal, including legal and accounting fees. At least the termination fee might help it defray some of those costs. Recent examples of this structure include the CKE Restaurants and Apollo Management deal. The fourth structure is what we call a two-tiered termination fee. This is either the debt equity with a specific performance deal or no specific performance. That's the second or third structure. But it's got a two-tiered termination fee. And the purpose of this deal, of this structure, is to separate out what we call unintentional breaches of the acquisition agreement from breaches where the buyer is willful and at fault. The first, the higher termination fee, is payable if the breach of the agreement by the buyer, by the private equity fund, is actually what we call willful. Willful is a term that is defined specifically in the agreement to avoid a specific definition that a court might apply. And if the breach is not willful, then a much lower fee will be payable. A good example of this type of deal is the DynCorp International Cerberus Capital deal. In all of the structures where debt is involved, there's usually language that's included that will limit the target company's rights with respect to the financing banks. In the pre-financial crisis world, where we didn't have these termination fees, the debt financing sources today are now regularly included in the acquisition agreement as the beneficiaries of a limitation on liability provision and an exclusive jurisdiction provision. What do I mean by this? It ensures the banks that litigation is not going to occur in an unfriendly state. It might say that litigation can only occur in this deal in New York as opposed to Texas. Why is that important? If a target can go to Texas, it might be able to sue the bank for what we call tortious interference of contract, which is a very, very nebulous area of the law and involves different issues of proof than it would in New York, where it's not allowed. Debt financing sources are getting the benefits of these liability limitations and jurisdictional provisions in the contracts, but targets can't really get anything in exchange. So the targets should ask for a right to directly enforce those debt commitment letters that are being given by the banks. That's specific enforcement that I mentioned up above. Eventually, one of the banks is going to give in, and they usually do so for the private equity firms. But targets should at least demand this in the negotiations. In recent litigation involving Clear Channel Communications, the banks argued that specific performance of a debt financing commitment letter was not permissible under New York law, which they said did not allow for such a right. The company may have lost this fight if it would have fought it in New York. But they still should ask for it in the contract. They still should ask for the protections of specific performance of a debt financing agreement. Different structures that I've talked about, the debt equity financing, the pure equity financing, financing with specific performance, are a response to the financial crisis that we're emerging from. It's also an attempt by lawyers to bridge the gap when financing may be uncertain. In the financial crisis, private equity firms regularly exercised walk-away clauses in their contracts so they could just have to pay a very low termination fee to walk away from a deal. These provisions that we have today are an improvement from the target company's perspective. They now have higher termination fees than the fees that we saw prior to the financial crisis. Again, between 4 and 10% instead of a high of 3% before the financial crisis ensued. But each of these deal structures have their own issues. For example, the pure equity structure may be best as it puts financing risk on the buyer, but it may not be available in the very, very largest deals. The second structure, the debt equity with specific performance, appears to be better than without specific performance, at least from the buyer's perspective, but the likelihood of getting that is pretty low. So in other words, private equity deals are evolving in the post-financial crisis world. If you'd like to know more about private equity financing, call us at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100. Or visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. And visit my blog, blueprintforwealth.org. I'm Wayne Zell, and stay with me for our special guests